All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to the session. Today, there'll be three of us that'll be co-presenting on a research roundtable and a research roadmap for environmental horticulture production. So the title is Research Priorities as Indicated by Industry Needs for Environmental Horticulture. And this was a group effort put on by Jill Calabro, Jim Owen, Anthony Labude, Jennifer Bolt, James Altland, and Jennifer Gray. So environmental horticulture production is an important part of the total U.S. agricultural crop production. According to the USDA Census of Agriculture in 2017, that was 8% of the total value of U.S. crop production and one-third of the farm gate value for all specialty crops. Environmental horticulture production encompasses $16.2 billion in 2017, and that lags behind some major agronomic crops, including corn, soybeans, fruits, tree nuts, and berries, and vegetables, melons, and potatoes. But it does come in ahead of wheat, cotton, and rice. So as we're looking at the environmental horticulture industry, we were realizing as a group that there was not a roadmap for research priorities. So the basis for our roundtable was the fact that stakeholders lacked a unified vision and blueprint which could be used to leverage needed resources for environmental horticulture. And then this could be used to direct future research, education, extension, and outreach needs. Roadmaps do exist for other industries. Examples include grape, apple, and citrus. So the timeline for this started back in 2017 when Jim Owen and Anthony Labude submitted a grant proposal to the Horticultural Research Institute titled Delivering a Blueprint for Ornamental Crop Innovation. In 2018, HRI met and prioritized funding to convene a process that would develop strategic horticultural research priorities. And then in December of 2018, this roundtable was held in Albuquerque, New Mexico. At the roundtable, initial discussions were trying to find a wide group of stakeholders that encompassed both greenhouse and nursery production, and we settled on having 40 key stakeholders that were able to attend the meeting. The roundtable was professionally moderated by Mitch Owen, and this two-day session employed modified versions of the continuous quality improvement processes to reach a consensus across everyone that was there. Because greenhouse and nursery stakeholders comprise such a large segment of the industry, those were the folks that were invited to attend, but we didn't want to leave out other smaller ancillary parts of environmental horticulture production. So additional segments were surveyed ahead of time so that their needs could be brought to the table as well. And these included mass market and independent retail segments, landscape segment, and the interior plantscape segment. The goal of our roundtable meeting was to identify current and future industry challenges and opportunities to increase future success and profitability.
So the first thing that we did with this group was we tried to assess the trends and forces that are affecting the environmental horticulture industry today. And those are broken down into three different categories: consumer, industry-specific trends, and global trends. And what we did was these were basically opinions of the attendees. However, when we wrote we also submitted a journal publication that's in the peer review process right now. And when we wrote that, we compared these ideas and opinions that were offered by the attendees to the literature when it existed. And what we found is that their opinions were generally true. So these were very well-informed opinions. So for consumer trends and forces, our attendees identified that age and demographics are changing. Millennials have less income and more debt than baby boomers. They spend more on landscaping. However, they're spending those on hardscapes and landscape services as opposed to flowers and plants. There's a greater emphasis on personal and environmental health as opposed to just buying plants to make their landscapes pretty. And there's also a demand for faster access to these products and services. Some industry-specific trends include shifts to higher-wage jobs, and this is probably because of an increased focus on mechanization and management as a result of the less availability of unskilled labor from immigration. There's also identified an unfavorable perception of careers in horticulture by young people, and this may be due to an increased number of college degrees that are being sought and a lack of desire or the perception that environmental horticulture involves too much manual labor. Buy local campaigns were also identified as another major trend. Inconsistent government rules and regulations. Many of the attendees had stated that the rules and regulations that are imposed on environmental horticulture are actually quite good and they're beneficial to the industry. However, they're inconsistently applied. And several of the attendees identified that as an ongoing problem. A decrease in university and extension support. And along with that, it was identified that allied industry members, like, for example, pesticide providers or fertilizer manufacturers, are filling in that gap that's being left by a decrease in extension. So some of these pesticide and fertilizer companies, they're providing educational programs and consulting services for environmental horticulture. And there are pros and cons to that, but that is a trend that has been identified. And then shipping, especially with respect to electronic logging devices, that has really affected the trucking industry and the fact that we have fewer truck drivers and fewer trucks to deliver the goods and services provided by environmental horticulture. Some global trends and forces included climate change and not only the adaptability of our production practices to a changing climate, but also the products that we're producing and being installed in landscapes. How adaptable are those to changes in climate? The greening of urban environments, which is probably a good thing for environmental horticulture, genomic solutions to horticultural problems, and political instability around the globe. No specific examples were offered on that, but that's probably pretty clear that that is an issue that's affecting our industry now. Then after that, the members were asked to develop a vision for what the perfect industry would look like. And you might even look at these as mission statements. When you read the paper that we've written, these kind of sound like mission statements or perhaps even goals or objectives. So the industry would produce quality plants that contribute to sustainable environment and enhance the quality of life of people. The customer would be well-educated and knowledgeable, value plants and products, and be loyal ambassadors, not just to the brands that they're buying, but to environmental horticulture in general. So there's this desire that consumers should spend more on environmental horticulture products and maybe less on collecting stamps or whatever they're doing. The workforce would be readily available, a diverse workforce that's educated, motivated, dedicated, and passionate employees that have a fulfilled and rewarding lifelong career in environmental horticulture. So these are some of the goals that the participants envision for a perfect horticultural industry.
I get to present the fun stuff. The actual results that the consensus that the group reached. So again, these research topics that where we reach a consensus as a group apply to HRI, of course, in terms of how we fund projects going forward, but as a larger part, they apply to how we leverage funds and work with some of our federal partners in terms of advocating for dollars spent. And we are also hoping to provide something for researchers, the research community, such as Jim mentioned, the document, the manuscript, can be used as a citable source to say these are citable industry needs that have been recorded. So what are they? Here they are very quickly. Some of you, I think, were able to pick up a copy of the executive summary of the report that's floating around the room. That's a relatively new document. I'll be walking through these four items individually here in more depth and detail. And the first, we'll start with quantifying plant benefits. This kind of harkens back to the idea of we don't want to be referred to as ornamentals. We really want to be referred to as environmental horticulture. That's very important. And quantifying plant benefits in terms of validating the benefits of plants in terms of ecosystem services, societal benefits, human health benefits, for example, will all have impact on creating information that we can develop different value propositions for our industry. Again, really reframing how the industry is viewed. And overall, of course, the industry impact would be to increase interest in horticultural careers as well as products and services. So the second little bucket, we call them buckets, so in my head I keep yelling buckets. The second bucket is creating innovative solutions. And the research focus for that is research that adapts biological, mechanical, technological systems to really create efficiencies. And I talked a lot about this morning in a meeting that we have. These efficiencies are relevant in terms of saving money to offset cost increases in other areas that cannot be mitigated, such as labor. And again, it just increases efficiencies and profits. Our industry is one that hasn't seen an increase in prices, in sales prices, and my gosh, it's been probably about 15 years, I think Charlie Hall says. Yet we've seen, of course, a significant increase in our supplies. The third little bucket was gathering consumer insights. We really need to better understand our consumer, what influences their purchases, their preferences, what trends that they're most involved with. This little bucket really surprised me. I was very surprised to see our group of stakeholders pinpoint this as a direct need. And of course, the benefit to doing this is to optimize products and services to meet our consumers, and then of course increase profitability industry-wide. And then the final bucket is producing practical and actionable solutions, essentially saying HRI needs to keep doing what HRI does. And traditionally, the majority of the projects that we fund tend to be emerging problems that arise, emergent issues that arise, or continuing issues that are just persistent throughout the industry. And so the stakeholders felt that HRI definitely needs to continue doing that, but again, diversifying into some of those other areas as well. And again, this just creates practical and actionable advice for our stakeholders to improve overall sustainability and profitability. So taking action, what that means for us going forward. The board met, it's been just a little over a week ago now, and officially adopted these new research priorities. So we will be moving forward with them for HRI funding. But again, as I've said, leveraging is also important, and within that, what we do with our federal partners. This reaffirms our commitment for supportive projects that provide practical solutions for the industry, whether it's production, distribution, resource management, pest and disease management, and also will have impacts, as I've stated a couple times now, regarding our federal partners and such. We have also been strongly encouraged by the stakeholders present at the meeting to diversify our collaborations, for example, working like with the American Heart Association to see if there is some sort of an overlapping benefit there. So that will be interesting moving forward. I'm excited to get my feet wet into that. And then, of course, amplifying our outreach. HRI is doing better in terms of our outreach commitment, but we have a lot of room for improvement on that. And so with that, I'd like to say thank you for all the stakeholders who participated. The list is there. It's also on the back of that executive summary that's floating around. And do we have time for any questions? This is the group that participated.
So you came up with priorities. Are there infrastructure needs that go along with these priorities to conduct this research?
The question is, are there infrastructure needs that go along with the research priorities? We haven't gotten that far. You know, I can see that as being potentially an issue going forward, yeah. Thank you.